Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's September the 6th, 2006. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Kay Whitlock of Terre Haute Grain out of Terre Haute, Indiana. And we'll talk with Drew Lerner today of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City. That happens just after the bottom of the hour. Oh, and along the way, the statisticians from the five top corn-producing states in the nation will update us on conditions in their respective areas. It all happens on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report.
Did you miss the Closing Market Report or some of our other agricultural programming? We've got the answer. You can get all our AM 580 agricultural shows delivered daily directly to your computer. Just go to our website, WILOAG.org, and look for the headline, subscribe to AM 580 Ag Podcast. Follow the simple steps, and you'll never miss an ag broadcast again. From the pre-opening and opening ag reports to the closing market report to Commodity Week, all delivered to your computer when you need it. Head on over to WILOAG.org and put the AM 580 Agricultural Podcasts to work for you.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Chip Jorstad in Morris at 815-941-3706. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
In Chicago on this Wednesday afternoon, we'll take a complete look at the numbers as we had to preempt the settlement prices at 150 this afternoon. So a quick look at a shorter version of that number set. September wheat, a 404 high today, a low at 398. Settlement price there down a nickel at 399. December futures at 423 and a half on the high, the low at 415. Settlement price in the wheat pit at 417. They were off a nickel today. September corn futures, 229 the high, the low at 26. Settlement price at 226 and a quarter, down 2.5. And December futures were off 3.5 cents today, with a high of 244, a low at 240 and a half. And the December contract settled at 240 and three quarters, down 3.5 for the day. The March futures, 259 and a quarter the high, the low at 55 and a quarter. Settlement price at 55 and a half, off 3.5. And next year's December's 293 and a half the high, the low at 88 and a half. December 07 corn 289, down a nickel. Soybeans now, September futures, 545 and a half the high, the low at 34, settled on that low, down 7 and a quarter. November's were off 7 and a half at 546 and three quarters, with a high of 558 and a half and a low at $5.46. January futures, 571 and a quarter the high, low at 559 and a half. Settlement price at 559 and three quarters. They were off 7 and a half cents. And July 07 soybeans, 604 the high, the low at 592, settled on that low, down 7 and 3 quarters for the day. Bean meal futures September contract to 158.60, settlement off a $1.70, and the September bean oil at 24.28, down 26. Taking a look at the numbers from the Mercantile Exchange, September contract to 119 high in the feeder cattle, low at 117.85, settlement price at 118.97 and a half. They were up $1.30. And the live cattle October contract, 94.80 the high, the low at 94.25, settlement price at 94.45, off 7.5 cents. Lean hogs October's 68.20 the high, the low at 67.30, settlement price at 67.82 and a half. And they were off a quarter for the day as well.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us now to take a look at what happened to the Chicago Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange is Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services out of Polkland, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Paul.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Let's talk about this marketplace. November beans down about 7 cents for the day. What happened in that bean pit?
Well, of course, I think three things that really jumped out at us here today is, number one, we did have the Informa group that came out last night with their, this morning with their guest estimate of production, and they came in at a 42 bushel per acre average. That's 2.4 bushels to the acre higher than the previous report. Also, yesterday, it was announced in the Wall Street Journal that a very large crude oil fine by Chevron, Texaco, and some smaller companies. And it's probably one of the largest oil finds in the last 10 years. And it basically sent a signal in the commodity markets that we saw commodity funds lighten up in new crop and deferred corn contracts and some commodities in general. And, of course, crude oil is down. It's probably, you know, looked on as, from an investor's point of view, a real savior to the U.S. economy, because it probably means that we're not going to have runaway oil prices in the future like we were afraid of. It does mean that other big oil companies are down there exploring those lower depths, and everybody seems to be optimistic that it could be one of the major boosts to the world, and particularly the U.S. economy, in years to come. The other factor that I think that we are picking up is that the farmers in general are talking about fairly good pod counts, and our early yields from southern Illinois, a far southern tip of the state, 150 to 60 out of Missouri on dry land, maybe 200 on irrigated, southern Illinois down in that very tip, 150 to 160, and also the Kentucky areas are coming in with that. That's probably an okay yield, but, you know, it's early in the season, and they didn't think there would be that much of a drag-off or tip-off as far as later yields are concerned. Some of the other yields around St. Louis are coming in smaller than that.
And what are you hearing from around St. Louis? They should be running maybe 120, 125 on average.
That's a pretty good ballpark there, Todd. And, of course, as we go on into this, you know, and I think the Informa Group basically, you know, bucked the trend, so to speak. They were higher. Most are coming in smaller. Our general opinion is they did get Illinois right. We do think Illinois is a smaller crop. So that was about the only state I really agreed with them on their observation.
Yeah, what was their corn number?
In Illinois, it came in at a bushel less, and that would be 171.
Yeah, 171, and their nationwide was what?
153.5.
Oh, so they upped the, they had a bigger yield across the nation then. What,
right.
At what, close to almost an 11 billion?
Bushel and a bushel and a quarter higher than the U.S., bushel three higher than the USDA. And really, if it's unchanged to smaller, it basically means that the crop can be put to bed pretty easy. Anything larger, you know, there'll be a little more taxing to the system. Informa also indicated that the Australian wheat crop was 2.5 million tons smaller, and also the Chinese corn crop 2 million metric tons smaller. Those are all good for world grain stocks, but let's face it, in the short term, the Illinois and Iowa corn crop what makes the futures market in Chicago trade, and we did see a little sell-off here today on energy and also the production estimate by Informa.
When we take a look at the number, that's a new contract low in the bean pit today too, isn't it, in the lead option? Yeah, it is. I was just looking at the charts, and actually not so good in the Novembers. You expect things to continue to sell off tomorrow?
Well, you know, a couple of things that we highlighted on Commodity Week. The farmer is going to be very, going to be a strong holder of soybeans. We've watched that trend the last couple of years. We are 50 cents to 75 cents below the cost of production in South America, Brazil. So they're beating up on the South American producer. He probably has an inventory of beans that he really is taking a loss on. And we are looking at, you know, probably a little smaller acreage in beans and also fairly good demand. And I think it is, we are looking at more bioenergy, particularly in the soybean oil. So the soybean market is going to take a big pause in here. We're expecting fairly good yields. The pod counts are unbelievably good, and, you know, we are bracing ourselves for a bigger production estimate. And I think most everybody is coming in with that kind of a guessed estimate on these preliminary guesses.
Anything else to add before I let you go for the day?
Hey, have a profitable day. Always nice talking to you.
Thank you much, Paul. Paul Cooley is with ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, taking a quick look at those numbers in the bean pit. New contract low, of course, in the nearby, and checking the Novembers. It looks to me like that contract low is actually way back at the very beginning at 542, a low today of 546. So not too terribly far off the contract lows in the November or your harvest month as well. Just after the bottom of the hour, Drew Lerner, World Weather Incorporated, will join us for a look at the agricultural weather forecast. Our own Ed Kieser says tonight, mostly clear skies, patchy fog forming. Lows will range from 50 in some rural locations to 58 in the city centers.
Information is made possible with support from ADM. With every kernel, every grain, every seed, ADM sees possibilities to improve everyday life. ADM, resourceful by nature.
USDA's weekly crop progress report released yesterday shows 97% of the corn crop has reached the dough stage and 81% has dented. And despite the fact that we feel like the crop has slowed down dramatically these past few weeks, it's still way ahead of schedule for the harvest season, about 14% better than the five-year average, though the cool, wet weather will keep dry down at an agonizingly slow pace. The condition of the crop improved 2 points from last week and is now said to be 43% good and 16% excellent. The condition of the soybean crop improved too, although you have to pick the numbers apart to see that. There's a 1 percentage point improvement in the excellent category, and that apparently came out of the good category, which went down 1 percentage point. The very poor, poor, and fair categories remain the same compared to last week for the soybeans. 13% of the bean crop is now said to be dropping leaves.
This is Mark Schleusener with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Illinois Field Office, reporting on crop progress and conditions for the week ending September 3rd. Last week was several degrees cooler than normal around the state, and precipitation was just slightly above normal. As a result, topsoil moisture is rated 7% very short, 18% short, 70% adequate, and 5% surplus. Most locations received 1/2 inch of rain up to 1 inch, with isolated reports of more than 2 inches. Producers see this precipitation as helping soybean pods develop to full potential, but is not really helping the corn crop. At this time, warm and sunny weather would aid farmers by drying the corn crop in the field. Corn harvest did begin last week and has reached 1% complete, the same as 1 year ago and the five-year average. Virtually all of the corn crop has reached the dough stage or beyond. 87% of the crop has dented, compared to 86% last year and 79% normally. Statewide, 20% of the crop is fully mature, compared to 22% for the five-year average. 8% of the crop is rated in very poor to poor condition, but 73% of the crop is rated in good to excellent condition. Switching now to soybeans. The soybean crop is maturing at a slower than normal pace. 17% of the crop is turning yellow, compared to 46% 1 year ago and 32% normally. 3% of the crop is shedding leaves, compared to 9% for the five-year average. The condition of the crop improved from last week and is rated as 5% in very poor to poor condition and 74% in good to excellent condition. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
Hello, this is Greg Preston, Director of Indiana Agricultural Statistics, and this is the crop weather report for the week ending September 5th. Significant showers across some areas of the state halted field work and caused minimal reports of damage to some crops. Precipitation was expected to help with the last of the soybean pod filling. Reports of modest amounts of sudden death syndrome were received, but insect pressure remained low. Topsoil moisture was rated as 1% very short, 7% short, 77% adequate, and 15% surplus. Subsoil moisture was rated 3% very short, 11% short, 79% adequate, and 7% surplus. Precipitation averaged from 0.05 to 4.26 inches. Temperatures averaged from a high of 92 to a low of 49 degrees. For the week ending Friday, 3.3 days were rated as suitable for field work. 96% of the corn acreage has reached the doughing stage, compared with 97% last year at this time and 94% for the five-year average. Corn in the dense stage was reported at 72% compared to 76% last year and 68% for the five-year average. Corn rated as mature was reported at 10% compared to 17% last year and 16% for the five-year average. Corn condition was rated as 71% good to excellent compared with 42% good to excellent this time last year. 6% of the soybean acreage is shedding leaves compared with 13% for last year and 16% for the five-year average. Soybean condition was rated as 73% good to excellent compared with 52% last year at this time. This is Greg Preston reporting from the Indiana NAS field office.
This is Joe Prusaki, Director of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Iowa field office, with the weekly crops and weather report for the week ending September 3, 2006. Cooler weather arrived in Iowa and traditional fall activities have begun. Corn silage harvest continued and the harvest of seed corn has begun. Some mold has been reported in cornfields due to cool, damp weather. Farmers expect to get their combines in the field in 2 to 3 weeks. There were 4.8 days suitable for field work last week compared to 6.5 days last year and a five-year average of 6.3 days. Topsoil moisture rated 15% very short or short, 80% adequate and 5% surplus. Subsoil moisture rated 36% very short or short, 61% adequate and 3% surplus statewide. The statewide average precipitation was 0.67 inches, while normal for the week in Iowa is 0.89 inches. The corn condition was reported as 11% very poor, 24% fair, and 65% good or excellent, unchanged from the previous week, and compares with 15, 27, and 58% for the five-year average. Corn in or past dough stage was 97%, 5 percentage points ahead of the five-year average. Corn in or past dense stage was 84%, 3 days ahead of last year and 7 days ahead of the five-year average. Corn mature was 14%, equivalent to both the previous year and the five-year average. Soybean condition was reported as 7% very poor or poor, 22% fair, and 71% good or excellent, improving slightly from the previous week and compares with 16, 28, and 56% for the five-year average. 38% of the soybeans are turning color, 4 percentage points behind last year. Soybeans dropping leaves reach 8% for the state of Iowa, 3 percentage points behind last year, but 1 percentage point ahead of normal. This has been Joe Prusaki with USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in the Iowa field office with the crop weather report for the week ending September 3, 2006.
This is Steve Parn reporting Nebraska's weekly crop weather report for the week ending September 3, 2006. Cool, damp weather continued to improve crop and pasture conditions. Irrigated cornfields rated 76% good or excellent, while dryland cornfields rated 26, both below year-ago levels. 87% of the corn had reached the dense stage and 17% was mature. There were a few reports of seed and high-moisture corn being harvested in the southern half of the state. Soybean conditions improved and rated 58% good or excellent. 29% was turning color and 3% was dropping leaves. Sorghum conditions improved and rated 56% good or excellent. 71% of the sorghum planted was turning color and 3% was mature. Winter wheat was 5% seeded. Third cutting alfalfa was 94% complete and fourth cutting was 17% complete. Alfalfa conditions rated 31% good or excellent. Pasture and range conditions rated 65% very poor or poor. This has been Steve Parn of the USDA's NAS Nebraska Field Office in Lincoln.
This is Dan Loftus, Deputy Director of the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, reporting the crop weather summary for the week ending September 3, 2006. Corn and soybean development, although still well ahead of average, progressed at an average weekly pace. The canola harvest is wrapping up well ahead of average, and sugar beets are beginning to come off the field around 2 weeks earlier than normal. Average topsoil moisture supplies improved from a season low of 15% adequate in late July to 58% adequate this week. The average temperature for the week was 64.7 degrees, 0.9 degrees above normal. Statewide topsoil moisture supplies as of Friday were rated 12% very short, 29% short, 58% adequate, and 1% surplus. As of Sunday, September 3rd, soybeans were estimated at 50% turning yellow compared to 38% for the five-year average. Soybean crop condition was rated 59% good or excellent, a decrease of 2 percentage points from the previous week. 85% of corn acreage reached the dense stage compared to 54% for the average. The corn crop condition was rated 55% good or excellent, a decrease of 3 percentage points from the previous week. Sweet corn harvest was estimated to be 78% complete, dry bean harvest was 15% complete, and sugar beets were 5% harvested. The sugar beet crop condition was rated 65% good or excellent, and sunflower condition was rated 67% good or excellent. That's the weekly crop weather for the week ending September 3rd, 2006. I'm Dan Loftus with the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office.
And I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Mark Report on WILL AM 580.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Bunge North America in Danville. Bunge recognizes the importance of agricultural production to our society and economy, and the role producers and processors play in providing food and feed to the world.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is AM 580. We're joined on this Wednesday afternoon by Kay Whitlock of Terre Haute Grain out of Terre Haute, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Kay.
And a good afternoon to you, Todd.
Well, I was taking a quick look at the LDPs. There's LDP in Illinois, Indiana, and Iowa for soybeans, and an LDP for corn, about 3 to 5 cents. In Iowa, nothing in Illinois and Indiana, of course, at this point. LDPs for soybeans, I think, ranged from 9 cents in Indiana to 14 cents in parts of Iowa. So the basis, the numbers have dropped far enough now that there's an LDP in play. And I suppose there will be some harvest, and somebody will probably take advantage of that. I want you to tell me about the basis and how it's reacted over the past couple of weeks. And what I'm trying to figure out is whether we had an early low early on, and then we might have a second low a bit later in the cash market as harvest really starts up across the Midwest in September.
Well, Todd, there's no doubt since we've talked last a couple of weeks ago, the basis has improved. I'm not really sure why, but it has to a great extent. I think we've improved our basis here probably 6, 7, or 8 cents, and train values are very strong. I'm assuming that there's so much going to the Gulf that the processors down there and the chicken people are having to pay up for corn, but it's holding its own. Now, the bean basis has dropped a little bit, but it has been improving steadily all along, too. And in our area, it's not necessarily because the farmers aren't moving stuff, because they are. They're cleaning out bins, and so we've had a little spurt here. But this is going to be one of these years. It's going to be hard to pinpoint what this market is going to do, especially since we drove basis down to unreasonably levels before we started this rebound.
Yeah, I wondered whether that might have been the rebound came because harvest got moved back as the weather cooled down and maturation really didn't come as early as many had thought.
This is true, and like I say, even in this area, we're going to have harvest in all stages. We've got some corn that should be coming in here within 3 weeks. There's corn, you know, testing 20 to 22%. But north of here where they've had plenty of rain, there's no yellow in the beans. The corn's still testing 35. It's going to be strung out this year, Todd. There's no doubt about it, and yields are really, really hard to pinpoint this year.
Farmers having a tough time doing that as well, probably more for the beans than they are for the corn usually.
Yes.
What are your bids for the day?
All right, cash corn today is 212, cash beans 514, and cash wheat is 322.
We appreciate you being with us.
Thank you, Todd.
Kay Whitlock is with Terre Haute Grain out of Terre Haute, Indiana. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That happens on Wednesday afternoons.
The Carl Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety, a division of Carl Foundation Hospital, is proud to underwrite agricultural programming at WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4606.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason. This is AM 580. Back in 2 minutes with a look at the agricultural weather. Your regional newscast comes up right now.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. Former Illinois Governor George Ryan is in a federal courtroom in Chicago this afternoon, where he's slated to be sentenced for his convictions and racketeering conspiracy and other charges. Defense attorneys want the judge to spare the 72-year-old Republican prison time while they work on his appeal. They also argue that his advanced age and failing health make anything more than a short term a life sentence. Prosecutors are seeking a prison term of 8 to 10 years. University of Illinois administrators expect to launch their new online global campus in January. President Joseph White and Special Assistant Chet Gardner will make a presentation about the new online program to the Board of Trustees tomorrow and hope to gain final approval in November. Gardner says the new online global campus will bring what he calls the quality University of Illinois educational experience to people who can't study on campus due to family, work, or cost considerations. Jerry Schweihart points to Champaign's success with economic development as he prepares to run for a third term as mayor. The retired police officer says he doesn't think the city's growth and downtown revival present much to argue with. But at large, City Councilman Geraldo Rosales, who has not ruled out a run for mayor, says the city's development has favored big business over the needs of working people and older neighborhoods. Congressman Jesse Jackson Jr. is mulling a run for mayor of Chicago, and he's asking voters to help him make up his mind. Jackson today said he's forming a committee to explore his options, and he plans a listening tour to hear from voters to help him decide about his future. A Bloomington, Indiana firm is donating $1 million to the police charity that was raising money when two officers were killed in a bike ride last month in Vermilion County, Indiana. Cook Group made the donation today to the Indiana Chapter of Concerns of Police Survivors. It supports families of officers killed in the line of duty. Dozens of Indiana University students will be spending more time than they expected living in dormitory lounges. School officials say they overestimated the number of students who would fail to show up for the first week of classes. About 60 IU students may spend another month without a dorm room. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason. Joining us now for a look at the agricultural weather is Drew Lerner, the senior agricultural meteorologist of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City. Good afternoon to you, Drew.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Sunny skies here in the Midwest, at least in Champaign County, Illinois. Can we expect more of the same or more rain later in the week?
Well, I'm afraid we'll get a little bit of both, and the rain is probably going to be a little bit more frequent than what we'd like to see for a while. Not necessarily just persistent rain, but its frequency will be high enough that we probably will see the crop maturation rate slow down a bit. We're also going to see some cooler weather develop this weekend going into next week. I imagine during the latter part of next week might be kind of chilly across a part of the Midwest. It's not something that's going to threaten crops by any means. We might see some upper 30s show up near the Canadian border, but we're not talking about frosty conditions here at all yet. But it does look like there's a fairly decent chance for some kind of rain to evolve as we go into the weekend coming up. There's a little frontal system coming south out of Canada that brings the first wave of cooler air into the region. And as it arrives into the region, it will set off some shower and a few thunder shower activity. Most of this precipitation, though, will hold off until Saturday going into Sunday. And then there'll be a new wave of a low pressure center, if you will, that will develop out there in the central plains that will come marching across the region, and that will help to reinforce some of the rainfall during the early part of next week. I'm probably painting this picture a little bit too bleak. I don't want to imply that it's just going to be rainy forever and cool and all that good stuff, but I do think that there will be a round of precipitation coming up this week that will interfere with field working operations and will definitely slow down some of the maturation process.
The harvest has begun in some places, despite the fact that the crop has really begun to slow down. And I guess when we look at the numbers from the crop progress report this week, it suggested that Dent was 14% ahead of schedule, but that maturation was right on schedule, and that's going to slow down, and farmers are going to need time to get this in the bin. They don't really like wet weather in the fall, and it sure looks like it's beginning that way. Do you expect things are going to continue to be cool and wet maybe through the month of September?
I do think there's going to be a little bit of a bias here for the cooler tendency, certainly across the east half of the Midwest. I think the bias is set up here for a ridge of high pressure to dominate the westernmost parts of the country. A northwesterly flow pattern should evolve aloft. Now, northwesterly flow patterns during this time of the year don't always produce a lot of rain. But there will be at least enough frontal passages coming across the region that we will see showers occur on a regular basis. So I don't know that I would go so far as to saying above average rainfall for the region, but I would say that the frequency of precipitation will be a little bit on the higher than average side, and that will interfere with field operations for a while. And the cooler bias will also be a little bit of a hindrance since we'll be slowing down that evaporation rate and creating some issues there. But I think the conditions will get a little bit better as we get deeper into the harvest season. I don't want to assume here that we're going to be stuck in a rut and with no breaks. I do think that we'll get the high-pressure ridge to come back to the east eventually, and that will bring us some drier, warmer conditions, but we may have to wait a couple weeks before that happens.
Thanks much, Drew.
Have a great day.
Drew Lerner, the senior agricultural meteorologist at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. And that is today's Closing Market Report. Remember to join us tomorrow morning at 8:49 for our first look at the markets. And don't forget, you can listen to today's futures analysis, the cash grain analysis, and weather right there on our website. Just go to willag.org. I'm Todd Gleason.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Chip Jorstad in Morris at 815-941-3706. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, and equal housing lender.